The blood of Jesus. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Thank you, Sherry. The Lord said, you know you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or life received by tradition from the elders, but from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Precious blood. Go back to Genesis 4 now. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. The book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. The book of firsts. First mention. Law of first mention. God wrote this book. And in it, He first lays out the truth about all things, about God, about man, about salvation. We have the first man and woman, first marriage here in Genesis. We have the first temptation, first sin, first children born, and first religious meeting or service, Cain and Abel. The first death, first bloodshed, first murder, first everything. And nothing has changed from the beginning. God has not changed, thankfully. Man really hasn't changed. The way Adam and Eve acted, the way Cain and Abel, we still act. And the way to worship God has not changed. God set this forth in the very beginning. This story is about two brothers, Cain and Abel. That's an old story. Nearly every person has heard something about it. Few understand it, know what it really means. If you do, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. Both of these brothers came to God. This is about two brothers coming to God to worship. Or it seemed that they were worshiping. They're bringing something. They brought something to God. Both brought something, but it was very different what they brought. Very different. One of them was accepted by God. God had respect unto Abel and his offering. The other, Cain, God rejected him. No respect to him and what he brought. And it caused Cain to rise up in wrath and kill his brother. His brother over there. Now, I have 3 points to this message. Very easy to remember, I believe. 3 points. Who? We're going to look at the difference between Cain and Abel. Who made the difference? What and why? Who made the difference? What made the difference? Why did it make a difference? Who made the difference? There are two sons here. You go with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. There are two sons here. They're twins. Nearly every writer, commentator, believes that they were twins. And I read in the very original Hebrew Bible, it says that Eve continued to bear. She had Esau and continuing to bear. I mean, she had Cain and continuing to bear had Abel. Meaning at the same time, twins. They were two sons. They were twins. They had the same parents, Adam and Eve. They had the same nature. They had the same nature. Different personalities. There's a difference in personalities. Those of you who've had more than one child, there's a huge difference in that. There's no denying that. Personalities are different. And you wonder where, how, like my two granddaughters, they're just so different.
But they have the same nature. Meaning, they have the same sinful nature that they got from their parents. They're born in sin. Sinners. Don't know God. Don't care about God. My two granddaughters, unless God does something for them, they won't give God a thought. Ever. That's a fact. And I've already given away the question, who maketh these different? These were two sons. They were born the same. Same parents, same nature. Scripture says we're come forth from the womb speaking lies. We were conceived in sin. We're born in dead in trespasses and sin. That's so. That's just so, isn't it? You know it's so about yourself. And you sure know it's so about your children because they come from you. They had the same upbringing. They were taught the same thing. You parents who've had multiple children, you teach your children the same lessons, don't you? You don't teach one thing, one another. No. Teach them the same lesson. And yet these boys turned out very different. The end of these boys turned out very differently. Who made the difference? All right. One of them, Abel, the Lord called him righteous. In Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus Christ, Abel is mentioned two or three times in Scripture, three times at least. And the Lord Jesus Christ called him righteous. The blood, in Matthew 23, he talks about the blood of righteous Abel. Cain is called of the wicked one. Abel's called righteous. Cain is called wicked. What's the difference? What's the difference? One of my favorite verses, and I learned it early, memorized it. Didn't have to really memorize it. It was printed on my heart. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? Who maketh thee to differ? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who maketh thee to differ? He talks about in Romans, the Jew and the Gentile, the religious, the irreligious, no difference. All of sin comes short of the glory, but God. Who maketh thee to differ? We're born sinful, of sinful parents. Who maketh thee to differ? One's not better than another. One's not... doesn't turn out better than the other because something he did. It's who maketh thee to differ. What we're talking about is the sovereign. Yes, the sovereign, discriminating, electing grace of God to make one righteous and leave the other one alone. To just leave them to what they are. What they are. Oh my, look at this, Ephesians 1. Here we are again, Ron. Ephesians 1, he says to the saints and faithful in Christ, grace to you, peace from God our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not talking to all men and all women and all people. It's talking to the saints. It's talking to the faithful in Christ, those he put in Christ. Read it. Blessed be God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly things or places. It's in Christ. All the blessings, all the promises are in Christ. According, he's blessed us, according as he hath chosen us. In him. Because of Christ. Put us in Christ. Who chose who? God chose a people. So many people get angry. That's the message we heard on the radio one. Election. Yes, election. I love it. I love it. I love that God chose a people. Because if he hadn't, no one would have chosen him. No one would have chosen. Abel would not have come to God had not God blessed him and caused him to approach on him and taught him how. Would it? That's one of our favorite verses in John. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee the right way. To bring the right sacrifice, offering. Oh, blessed. He's chosen us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He did it in love. God set His love on people. A people as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. Over in chapter 2, He says, you, talking about these that God has chosen and put in Christ, you were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sin. In time past, walked according to the course of this world, just like everybody else. Just like Cain. Just like Esau, who despised the birthright. The prince of the power of the air. You were captive to him. Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom all also we all had our conversation or life in time past. All we wanted to do is fulfill the lust of our flesh. Desires of our mind, flesh and mind. We're by nature, born this way. Children of wrath, like Cain. Even as others. Who maketh thee a different? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, still speaking of these chosen ones, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. It's by grace that you're saved. Free gift. Oh my. Back in our text in Genesis 4. So these two sons, you know, they're both the same. They're born of the same parents. There's no difference in them. There's no difference in them. Who made the difference? Was the Lord made the difference. And look at verse 3. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass. There's a change that took place in one of these young men. In the process of time. The process of time means some time took place. Don't know how many. It was years. Okay? This was years later. Both boys grew up in time. They grew up in time. And lo and behold, something happened to one of them. Something happened Abel. A change took place. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this to a man named Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Born from above. Born of God. You must be born of God. Born the first time. And Nicodemus couldn't understand that, could he? Can I enter into my mother's womb the second time? He said, no, this is something different. Something that takes place in the process of time. Something God does to bring about a miraculous change. Change of mind, change of heart, change of masters. Understanding. Life given from the dead. From darkness to light. The process of time. It was God that made this change in Abel in the process of time. Paul talked about it. Saul of Tarsus, you remember Saul of Tarsus? He hated God. Oh yeah, he did. Jesus Christ is God. He hated Him. He was religious. He loved the God that he loved. But he hated the true God. He hated Christ. He hated the truth. And Paul said this. He said, I was before injurious, a blasphemer. That's to hate God. But God. But I obtained mercy. He said, in the fullness of time, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son. In the fullness of time, in the process of time, something happened. Same with many of you in here. Something took place. Who did it? We're talking about who makes us to differ. Something happened to make these boys different.
made them bring different sacrifices. The process of time. It was God that made them to differ and did something to Abel. All right? Now, look at this. Verses 3 and 4. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. In the process of time, both of these young men, we believe they're young, came to God to worship. They appeared to be some kind of time of worship. They both thought they should come and worship God or come to God and bring something to God. Okay? And you know, men and women have been doing that from the very beginning, haven't they? All men and women, even heathens, savages, come before some concept of God and bring something, don't they? To try to please whoever they think is God. Try to appease a God that they know they've offended. Right? Everybody does it. Man's been doing that from the beginning. It started right here. These two boys. All right, both of them, I believe, called him Lord. They both came to worship. It seemed that way. They both brought gifts. They both seemed to be sincere. But one came, Cain, and brought something, and the Lord rejected it. Had no respect. Cain. But Abel accepted, respected. What was the difference? Cain, it says, was a tiller of the ground. Look at that. Verse 2. He was a tiller of the ground. And in time, he brought of the fruit of the ground. Do you remember what the Lord said about the ground in chapter 2? Look at it. Over there, chapter 2, verse 17. After sin, you see, animals were taken from the ground. Everything was created from the ground. That's what it said there back in chapter 2:19. Chapter 2:19. The ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field. Adam was taken from the ground. The Lord God formed man from the ground. And in chapter 3 it is. Chapter 3, verse 17. After sin, God said, because you've hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, say, and thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The ground is the earth, that is. The earth, everything about it is going to bring you nothing but sorrow. Verse 18, it's a curse. Thorns and thistles it'll bring forth. Verse 19, the sweat of thy face you'll eat bread till you return unto the ground. It's a curse. It's sorrow. Everything in this earth. And he sent man out, verse 23, to till the ground from which he was taken. Now there's nothing wrong with being a farmer. A farmer's a good thing. Adam was a farmer. Cain was a farmer. Okay? I've often thought if I wasn't doing this, I'd want to be a farmer as my occupation. I love it, working with the earth. But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and what he brought was vegetables, fruits, flowers. I'm certain he brought lots of flowers, thinking God's going to be pleased with it. God, this will be good. God will be pleased. Abel. In verse 4 says Abel. In verse 2, Abel was a shepherd, keeper of sheep. Where did he get the sheep? God made sheep long before he made man, didn't he? He made sheep. Sheep were waiting. There was a lamb before man's born. When Abel was born, Adam already had sheep. And he gave those sheep to his son. Boy, what an illustration this all is. And Abel's a picture of Christ. But anyway, Abel was a shepherd of sheep. And Abel, it says, in the process of time,
that Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. Doesn't say Cain brought the first of his fruit. No. I'm quite sure he ate that. The best tomatoes. This year, I finally have a good tomato crop. Last year, I think I had one tomato. And this year, I finally, I was away when the first ones ripened. And my parents ate it. And they called me to tell me about it. We ate your tomatoes. And I admit, I really wasn't happy about it. I love my parents. I love my parents, but I wanted to eat that. What's that? That's my rotten nature. They gave me everything, years and years, and I wanted to eat that first. Well, never mind that. That's a silly illustration. But anyway, I'm sure, knowing Cain, that he didn't bring the first fruits. No, sir. Saved that for himself. But he brought some. Look pretty good. Cain's wicked. All right. But Abel, it says, brought the firstling of his flock, the firstborn lamb. One of those sheep one day, a new lamb had a baby, a male. A male lamb, firstling of the flock. And Abel, oh, he was so thankful. God, who did that? God did that. God gave him those sheep, and God creates life, and God gave that lamb, and Abel had nothing to do with it. He was standing, lo and behold, one day a lamb was born. And Abel thought, I've gotten a lamb from the Lord. And it was a beautiful lamb. It was without spot. It was without blemish. It was perfect. He looked at it and said, he's perfect. And he remembered hearing from his parents years ago that the only way that God had mercy on them, the way that God had mercy on them, what they saw God do in the garden when they sinned against Him was take a lamb, an innocent lamb, a beautiful, spotless, unblemished lamb, and killed it right before their eyes, shed its precious blood, its life blood, and it died, and the Lord took that skin off that lamb as they watched in horror as the Lord did something to that innocent lamb to cover their sin. And God took that lamb, that skin of that lamb, and covered them, their nakedness before God, and their guilt began to fade, and their shame began to fade, and God covered them told them of His coming Son, the seed of woman, and how that everything's going to be all right. You're going to go through troubles and trials, but you come to me by the blood of the Lamb, which represents the Christ that's to come and put away your sins that you've rebelled against me. Sin that you're full of and your children will be full of. You come and you tell your children, you come to me by the blood of a lamb, a sacrifice, an innocent victim for the guilty. Substitution. That's how you come to me, and I will have mercy. When I see the blood, I pass over you, he said, to all the children of Israel. I will. And the plague will not come nigh thee. I will spare you. Come to me with the blood. Abel remembered that. And Cain was taught this. Abel remembered that. So he said, I'm not going to keep this lamb. I'm going to bring this to the Lord. And he took that lamb and cut its throat, and poured out that blood, and brought it, says, with the fat thereof. Doesn't mention blood, does it? No. But the fat, it killed it. It killed it. There's no mention until Abel's blood of blood. But he brought that lamb, the fat thereof, and offered it up unto the Lord as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice to God. Now, what made the difference? God accepted him. What made the difference between Cain and Abel? We got two sons.
Who made the difference was God. They both were of the same parent. What made the difference in one being accepted and the other one not accepted? What made the difference? Cain was rejected. Abel was accepted. What made the difference? Did they make the difference? No. It was what they brought. It was their sacrifice. See, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. The Lord said, don't bring anything from the ground. The ground is cursed. Whatever you bring from the earth, don't bring me anything from down here. There's nothing down here. Nothing from the earth. That which is of the earth is earthy. That which is flesh is flesh. Don't bring me sinful works, deeds, and all that you do. I don't care how good it looks to you and others. Don't bring me anything that you've done. Cain, see, he went out, and I know something about this, hard work. It takes hard work to raise a garden. I worked harder this year than ever, didn't I, Minute? And I have to admit, I'm kind of proud of that garden. I guess that's why now it's burning up. It's failing bad. But I was real proud of that garden. I worked hard. You have to go out and go till the ground. You're not going to grow anything until you till the ground. He worked hard with his hand. And then he had to plant that seed. Get out on your hands and knees and plant that seed. Cover it up. Water it. You got to water it faithfully, don't you? You got to weed it. When I got back from 2 weeks, weeds were everywhere. If I hadn't weeded it, it's a goner. He weeded it. He weeded it. Fertilized it maybe. Dunged it or whatever. He worked hard on it. And that thing began to grow. And buddy, when it grew and produced that fruit, he said, I know what he thought. Look what I've done. That's what all men and women by nature do. They work hard at whatever it is. And most especially in religion. Look what all I've done for God. Look what all I've given up. Sacrificed. See, there's two religions in the world. There's only two religions. And only one is true. Doesn't matter what denomination or what name they go by. There's only two. One is true. And one is false. There's the religion of Cain, which is works. My works. What I do for God. What man does for God. What man does with what God offers him, they think. The works of man. The will of man. The decision of man. The righteousness of man. That's false. All religions, but one, are false. Or the way of Cain, be it Muslim, Hindu, Southern Baptist, Catholic, works. Lord, look what we've done for you. We accepted you. We believed you. Faith. They even bring faith as a work. I believed you. I let Jesus into my heart. That's something you've done. God rejects it. Rejects it. There's a religion of Abel. True religion. There's only one. One Lord, one faith. And I said before, who made him to differ? It's the faith delivered to the saints. By grace are you saved through faith. There's only one faith. And it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Nearly everyone in here before, when you were religious, you went the way of Cain, didn't you? Thinking, God's pleased with this. What I've done or have not done, or what I've given up, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God reject that. But God, like Abel, revealed unto you the way of righteousness, the way to be accepted. How? It's not you at all. It's in the beloved. It's in the beloved. Nothing you've done at all. All your righteous, filthy rags. But God. I can't say anything without saying that. Who maketh thee to differ? He revealed unto you the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb. Abel brought the firstling. Oh my. The firstling, the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. Well-pleasing. God is well-pleased for His righteousness' sake. And He's pleased with those who come in Him. who come by faith in Christ. He's not pleased with anybody else. He won't accept them. He won't have any respect. God is no respecter of persons. No matter how good they look, how sincere. Paul said, I know they're sincere, my brethren, because I was just like them. But God won't accept that. But what He will accept is the most vile sinner who ever walked the earth who comes for the blood of a lamb. Well, that's good news, isn't it? It's not good news to a Pharisee. Cain didn't like it. Cain worked hard. Why was he mad? He's self-righteous. He's self-righteous. Abel loved it. Let me tell you now, who made the difference? What? Why? Wait a minute. Who? Who made the difference? God made the difference between these two boys. How they thought about God, about themselves. And what made the difference? What they brought. You know they're different, but what they brought. Abel came by the blood of a lamb. Something God did. A sacrifice, a substitute. Nothing He did at all. Why did God accept one over the other? Here's what Abel is saying. And here's what everybody says who really believes and trusts Christ and Christ alone. Listen to me. I'm going to close. This is it. It's the heart of this message right here. When bringing the lamb, Abel said this. Bringing that blood, the lamb's blood that was shed. He's saying, what he's doing is confessing his sin. He's saying, I am sinful and I deserve the wrath and judgment of God. The soul that sins must surely die. And he said, I deserve to die, but I'm bringing this lamb in my place, in my stead. Would you accept the blood, the death of this lamb who pictures the Son of God that's to come someday to put away the sins of His people? Would you accept this lamb? I know this lamb blood won't put away my sin, but the Son of God's blood will. And this represents, would you accept this blood as my death? As payment for my sin? Would you? Lord, I need a substitute. I'm unrighteous. This is an innocent lamb. Your Son is innocent. Would you accept what He did on my behalf? Lord, I need Christ. I need His righteousness. I need His shed blood. I need Him to cover my sins. This is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is. When Abel came with this lamb, he's repenting toward God. I'm a sinner and deserve to die. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is you'll accept me in the Beloved, in your righteous Son, that you'll forgive me because Christ died. Do you believe that? Do you believe my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and His righteousness? That you dare not trust the sweetest frame or feeling or work or anything, but completely and wholly lean on Jesus, that's the Savior's name. On Christ the solid rock do you stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you really trust Christ and Christ alone? God knows. Cain, he heard that. He didn't believe it. He was sincere and he brought something, but what he did by bringing these fruits and flowers, and I keep saying flowers because that's what religion has a lot of, don't they? Have you ever wondered why there's so many flowers? Cain, let me tell you, there's a vast difference between blood shed and fruit and flowers. Blood shed means somebody suffered pain. Blood shed means somebody suffered great sorrow. Somebody went through a horrible death. You can't have blood shed. I mean shed, not dripped. Christ's side was pierced. His head was nailed. His hands, His feet were nailed. He went through separation. When somebody dies, they're separated from somebody they love. Death is separation.
Death is horrible. Bloodshed. Why is blood so repulsive to human nature? There's no substance like blood. You ever thought about it? Nothing the color of it. Nothing the smell of it. Nothing the sight of which brings horror and fright. Blood. Why is that? It's life. The life of the flesh. And you know when the blood is gone, the life is gone. It's a horrible thing when you see bloodshed. And what it takes to put away sin. It's a horrible thing that it took. Sin is an ugly thing. Bloodshed is not pretty. It's ugly. And what it took, sin's ugly. So it took an ugly death. A horrible death. Separation from God. The wrath of God poured out on His Son. His blood shed like a lamb that was slain. That's what it took. Horrible. Horrible. And that's so repulsive to self-righteous religion. I don't want that. I'm going to bring flowers. I'm going to bring fruit. I don't think God's that holy. I don't think man that bad. I don't think that's what it takes. That's an old-fashioned bloody religion. That's too archaic. I don't believe that. That's what Cain thought. I don't believe that. It's true. Christ died. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. God had put His soul, made His soul an offering for sin. It's an ugly, horrible thing. People don't understand that when they wear that cross around their neck as jewelry. It was a horrible thing that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. He went through hell. That's what it takes to put away sin. Nothing but the blood. You ever thought why men and women bring flowers to funerals? When did that start? When did that start? Because death, when death, the body begins to corrupt, it begins to stink. Before embalming, death was a horrible thing. It begins to stink. They began to bring flowers to cover up the smell, to mask the smell, to keep death from appearing to be death. Are you with me? You understand? And religion brings fruit and flowers. And at death, we try to make the person appear not to be dead. And let's bring flowers and make this seem like a happy time. It's a terrible time. Unless Christ died for that person. But men bring flowers, don't they? Cain brought flowers and fruit. Brother Scott used to say Cain was a turnip farmer. Oh, Brother Scott, that coal miner God made into a great preacher. He said he's a turnip farmer. How do I know? He said because you can't get blood out of a turnip. Wise man. Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. But the blood. Cain, alright, the end of the story. Cain got angry. And so does everyone who hears this message the first time. Self-righteous people, religious people hate it like Cain. They're very sincere. But they hate this because it offends their works. It offends their worth, their self-righteousness, and they hate it. And Cain, the first murder took place because of religion. Religion. They've been murdering each other ever since. And our Lord said, how do I know Cain was righteous? Because the Lord, He suffered persecution for righteousness' sake. Not His own. But another. Cain was wroth. Our Lord said this. Got to show you this. He said to Cain, if you do well, won't you be accepted? What's he mean by that? If you bring what Abel brought. How did Abel do well? He brought the lamb by the grace of God.
Over in John 6, they said, what shall we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God.
Believe.
Don't bring in it. Don't work anything.
Believe on Him, His work.
Our Lord said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If not, sin lies at your door. What did He mean by that? It means that you're going to be subject to anything and everything. You're going to believe anything and everything. You're going to, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. You don't come by the blood of the Lamb. You're going to fall for everything. And He'll be rejected completely. Well, Cain didn't like that. And he began to talk to Abel, his brother. And I know what they talked about. I know what they talked about. You've talked about it to your brother, haven't you? You've talked about it to your sister, haven't you? Your mom and dad, your neighbors, your co-workers, haven't you? What's the conversation of God's people? It's about the blood of the Lamb. It's about the righteousness of Christ. And Abel, and they talked about this, and Abel said, Cain, we both heard the same truth. We know what the Word of God says. We know what God told our parents and tells us. We know there's one way to come to God. And Cain said, I don't believe that. And Abel said, well, I didn't say it. God said it. Don't get mad at me, Cain. He said, I don't like that. You think you're right and I'm wrong? I didn't say that, Cain. I didn't say I was right and you're wrong. You think you're better than me? No, Cain, I didn't say I was better than you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm saved by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ. I didn't say I was better than you. I'm not different than you. I'm a sinner just like you. It's by the grace of God I am what I am. I didn't say that, Cain. He said you did too. And he killed him. And the first person ever to come into heaven. There was one person in heaven. One person. One person in heaven. His name was Abel. This is true. One person in heaven. You know what he's singing? From the top of his lungs. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin. Us. In His own blood. Unto Him be all the glory and the honor and the praise and the thanksgiving. Why am I here? The blood of the Lamb. That's what He's saying. Okay. Brother John, you come.
Thank you.